news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The nation marked the fifth anniversary of the Pulse nightclub massacre on Saturday. So far this year, we've had 272 mass shootings, and it's only June. From Friday afternoon until Sunday, at least 9 people were killed and another 47 injured in 8 mass shootings across 6 states. The total number of mass shootings is about 40% higher than at this point in 2020 and about 65% higher than in 2019. Sickening. Well, the group of 7 leaders closed their 3-day summit in England on Sunday with a statement criticizing China for its human rights record and the erosion of Hong Kong's autonomy, while demanding that Beijing thoroughly and transparently investigate the origins of the coronavirus pandemic. The G7, a group of wealthy democracies that includes the United States, Canada, Japan, Germany, Italy, France, and the UK, also formally pledged to donate more than 1 billion COVID-19 vaccine doses to poorer nations, and they agreed in principle to a minimum corporate tax. Some global health advocates also called for bolder action against the pandemic and climate change. That would be nice. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden had tea at Windsor Castle with Queen Elizabeth at the end of their UK visit on Sunday. Biden said the Queen asked about the leaders of China and Russia, and he said that he had invited her to the White House. Next stop for Biden is Brussels, where on Monday he attends the 31st NATO summit, his first one as president. Now, the former guy frequently railed against NATO, but Biden has reiterated his support of NATO and its goals of transatlantic security and collective defense. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said that countries at Monday's summit will agree to the group's 2030 agenda, focused on strengthening collective defenses, strengthening resilience, sharpening their technological edges, and working with like-minded partners. They'll also talk about ways to approach Russia. Good timing, since Biden is due to meet with Vladimir Putin on Wednesday. More international news, as Israeli lawmakers on Sunday voted 60-59 to install a new coalition government, finally ousting Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after a record 12 years in power. The incoming coalition includes parties from the right, center, and left. It'll be led for the next 2 years by Naftali Bennett, an orthodox leader of Israel's very religious right-wing nationalist movement. After 4 elections in 2 years, Bennett's incoming government breaks a long political deadlock and ushers in the most diverse coalition Israel has ever seen, and it includes the first Arab party to serve in the Israeli government. Netanyahu, channeling his buddy Donald, is fighting his defeat. Ahead of the swearing-in, Netanyahu denounced the coalition that ousted him from office, calling it a weak and dangerous government, saying it wouldn't be able to stand up to global rivals like Iran, and he said, "We'll be back soon." But now he'll have to face all those indictments that have piled up around him. Here at home, last week we learned about the overreach and excesses from the Trump Justice Department with the New York Times article about revelations that the Trump DOJ had seized the data of reporters and at least 2 Democrats in Congress as part of their investigation into leaks regarding contacts between Trump World and Russia. As is usually the case, there's more where that came from. Now we learn that the Trump DOJ had also subpoenaed data from one of Don McGahn's accounts back in February of 2018. A gag order just expired, finally allowing Apple to inform McGahn of what incursions they made into his private accounts. According to Apple, the Justice Department said at the time that it was barred from informing McGahn, whose wife also received a similar notice. It wasn't immediately clear which accounts were reviewed or whether McCann, who had been the 2016 Trump campaign's top lawyer, was the focus of the matter the Justice Department was investigating. Now to try to get some answers. Today, leaders from CNN, The New York Times, and The Washington Post are meeting with U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland to discuss the Trump administration's controversial leak investigation. Democrats are demanding sworn testimony from Trump's former attorneys general involved in the scandal. The New York Times reporting Monday morning that John Demers, a Trump appointee who remained in the Biden Justice Department, who would have typically been briefed on investigations like those involving the secret collection of journalists' phone records, is stepping down. Interesting how that works, isn't it? While many of us are gingerly rejoining the outside world after about 15 months of seclusion, a new, more dangerous COVID-19 variant is on the rise here in the United States and could do serious damage in areas with low vaccination rates. It's the Delta variant. It currently accounts for about 10% of U.S. COVID-19 infections, but that proportion is doubling every 2 weeks, and it may become the dominant strain here in the U.S. That might not mean a sharp uptick in infections across the country because we've administered more than 309 million doses of the vaccine. But specific regions are at risk. In states like Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Wyoming, which are showing significantly lower vaccination rates than the national average of 64.4%. This is no time to let down your defenses. And finally, we knew this was coming. A driver killed at least one person and injured at least three others Sunday night at a protest in Minneapolis over the police killing of yet another black man. This appears to be a rising trend. More than 100 people were struck by cars last year during Black Lives Matter protests, and Republican legislatures in multiple states have introduced measures that would grant immunity to drivers who strike and injure protesters with their vehicles. What did they expect would happen? And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.